Contractors with expiring GSA Multiple Award Schedule contracts have a new goodie. A new clause gives an afterlife to that contract, a really long afterlife. Just one of the tidbits you should know about from the weekly blog of Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. He joins me now. Larry, lots to talk about this week, but before we get to the GSA contract schedule, I wanted to ask you about something you wrote stating that the industry can be an important voice on budget sanity. Usually they stay to the side when this is going on.
That's right, Tom. Traditionally, industry has been right there with a lot of federal agency rank-and-file people wringing their hands over congressional inability to get appropriations done on time. But right now, with the release of the president's budget, I think it's a good time to focus on what industry can do. The fact of the matter is, industry can have an impact if they let their elected officials know. Most frequently, that's going to be about the negative impact that delayed budgets have on employment and the economy of elected officials' home base.
That is to say, the contract spending ends up somewhere, and that somewhere is not Washington, D.C.
Well, that's right. There are jobs in every one of the 50 states. Government contractors represent an overall important part of the economy, particularly in many cities and towns. And I think sometimes, Tom, that's lost on elected officials. They just kind of see Washington as Washington. They don't realize that some of the people who support them in their campaigns for Congress or the Senate are ones who rely on good government business and the timely appropriation of government money to run their companies. And it's important that elected officials understand just what the negative impact can be of playing games with the budget in perpetuity.
Now, if you are a large, say, defense contractor and you're building a platform that might have hundreds of subcontractors, you definitely push that idea. That's part of their strategy, is how many states they can get subcontractors to operate in. But for the average IT person or small business, how can they really get to their congressperson in such a way as to have an impact?
Well, I always recommend that you try and get on the congressman's schedule when they're going to be back in the district. Most of the congressmen do go back to their districts, some every weekend, and they are doing plant tours. I've had people that I've worked with who are furniture companies who've had their congressmen in to tour their facilities, and it was a real eye-opener for the congressperson because they had no idea that furniture being made in that district in western Michigan ended up at Treasury Department building in Washington, D.C. It kind of takes government spending out of the textbook and into the hometown newspaper, if you will. And I think that type of thing makes Congress people feel differently about maybe wanting to shut the government down or having another round of sequestration, when they understand that, look, it can have a real impact on Main Street where they live.
And having looked at the budget for a few days, it looks like the IT portion of it is up once again close to $90 billion for 2017, assuming Congress goes along. Good for the community? Bad for the community? Neutral?
Overall, I think this is good news for the federal IT community, Tom. Look, if you're looking at the cyber part of this budget, particularly, the president's calling for a 35% year-over-year increase in cyber spending. That's huge. And while Congress may not go along with that exact number, it's important to understand that a lot of critical IT projects, things like cyber protection, things like updating tech, that's actually getting traction now on Capitol Hill. These are not partisan issues. Rather, they have broad bipartisan support. There's an understanding that we need to make sure that our IT is capable of being part of our national security infrastructure. And so while Congress may not go along with the exact game plan laid out by the president, they are likely to follow most of the principles.
We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and I wanted to get to the other item that we were going to talk about, and that is this new GSA schedule regulation change regarding the afterlife of contracts. What's going on there?
GSA came out with a change, Tom, that I think is very beneficial to contractors and their government customers. Basically, what GSA is doing is they're implementing a regulatory clause, making it part of the GSA schedule. This is a clause that's already part of other GSA contracts like Alion and Oasis, for example. And essentially what it does is it says, look, if you are going to place a long-term order against a schedule contract, you don't need to be concerned, Mr. or Ms. Customer, that that contract might expire in a few months. The FAR clause allows task orders to live on and still be fulfilled for up to 60 months after the expiration of the underlying contract. That allows for long-term projects to keep going. It allows for continuity of government operations. It allows for the government to make better planning. All of these are things that we should be in favor of, regardless of whether you're sitting on the contractor side of the table or the government.
Do you think this applies more for services contracts, or can it also apply to delivery of equipment and other stuff?
Oh, I think it can apply across the schedules, Tom. I think certainly services is one area where you're going to have a multi-year service project that can carry on. But you can also have things like filling a new office building with furniture. That can be something that is accomplished over a period of months or even over a year or so, depending on the build-out of the building. So it really can be across the board, and it makes the schedules program that much more of a useful tool for federal agencies, and it makes the schedules as a program more competitive than it had been without it.
As a practical matter, have you seen this problem arise in your experience where people want to keep going with deliveries after a contract has expired, but it expires and then they're up a creek?
The way we see this most frequently, and I do see it, is where an agency will not use a schedule contract because the contract only has a certain amount of time left to run, and they know that their requirement is going to exceed that time by a year or 2 years. And so rather than use a schedule, they'll go out and conduct an open market procurement. That takes a lot of time. That takes a lot of effort. Costs everybody more money. So the schedule program takes a hit because business isn't going through it, and the schedule contractors don't have as much use out of that contract as they would have. So this change really enables that agency that's thinking about using a schedule to say, hey, now I don't need to worry. If these contracts only have 5 months to go, I can get it in place now and fulfill my multiple task orders for up to 60 months more.
And after it expires, two questions. Would GSA still collect the fee on those sales? And would they be monitoring pricing and other terms and conditions that, if there's a live contract, you have to be careful of?
Well, certainly GSA will be collecting their industrial funding fee. Any sale that's logged in as a scheduled sale, it gets the access fee to go with it. As for oversight, certainly I think that GSA will continue to provide oversight for contractors. Realistically, I don't expect that you would have a contractor who had significant business and was engaged in a multi-year task order that would not have a new contract. So certainly that would be a company that would continue to be under scrutiny and under observation. But I think, look, even if you've got a long-time performing contract, this is not new. GSA's been doing this already for its Alliant contract and to a lesser extent, because it's newer, Oasis. So those controls are already in place.
And is this a rule that is in place now? It's not something that they're putting out for comment. It's just something they can make a change arbitrarily.
In my conversations with GSA this week, Tom, they said they're going to issue a mass modification, and they may have already done it by this time. So it's something that contractors, if they haven't seen in their contract mailbox, should expect to see any day now.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.